settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show we focus on education. Through mixed deep trance mediumship we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show we'll be discussing all sorts of questions, but mainly we're going to continue our talk about ego. We started last week. Fascinating topic it turned out to be. Thank you, Ruth, for your questions. And we have had some more questions come in this week from our faithful listeners, and I thank you very much for that. But anyway, if you'd like to join us with a question regarding our subject, or if you want to ask Gregory something about the spirit world, or any sort of spiritual development questions or anything like that, then please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you, and the number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. It's not a personal sort of reading like you sometimes get on the shows, although we are going to have a medium on in a couple of weeks that will actually give you a free reading, a mini reading when you phone up, and she'll put you in touch with your loved ones in the spirit world. But it's general questions and your chance to interact with somebody direct to the other side of life.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com, every Sunday now at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. And that is now at midnight GMT. If you would like to know more about us, our books and CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is at www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, 1705 to 23, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain a little more about the whole process. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, I'd also like to explain, actually, that we do personal readings, one-to-one readings, and you can actually have a one-to-one with Gregory Hay. We do Akashic readings, but we do all sorts of readings. You can find out about that on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. But in particular, our Akashic readings, the sort of thing that you would find out is it's basically about your core intention, your soul vibration, what actually your soul group name is, who your doorkeeper and guides are, and that sort of thing, what gifts of spirit that you may have, all sort of, actually, it's a spiritual reading, quite different from probably anything you've ever had before. I know that there are Akashic readings, but I think Gregory's Akashic readings are quite unique and individual, and you can find out more about that on our website, on the Akashic reading page. We will be back on the Mystic Academy next Sunday at the New Oracle Temple, and we look forward to your company then, and that is at 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 9 p.m. in the UK. Anyway, Gregory Hay is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, a and they consist of scientific minds of all description, as well as ordinary people. And they are an educational team that have come to give us access to information that will benefit us in order that we may move toward a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the group, and actually they're pretty much all scientific based, so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So he's not actually channeling information and sifting through it and then giving it to us. It's actually a completely another entity who is speaking to you during the show. So it's always a really exciting time, and like I say, you can interact with us at any time, and we look forward to that. The other thing is, of course, if you have any questions or sort of ideas that you would like us to talk about some week, then you can actually send that to me on the website as well, and I will generate a show around that for you. Okay. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's here. Hello, Gregory.
Love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear Vet.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we had a great time last week talking about ego. You were saying that it's the that there are two specific types of, really, ego. Is the perpetuation of attitude of mind.
Yes.
And of oneself, basically. And then there's the natural form to do with the natural world and how you survive,
yes.
But not particularly rated against someone or other or other thing. It's not keyed to the conscious mind as such in that way.
That is quite true. It is more keyed to the instinctive personality, that is, of survival, of not really dominating, but really just making sure that aspects of genetics are, in a sense, furthered in future generations. That's really what this other form of ego is about.
Mm.
However, obviously, there are areas where the two merge, and there are areas where situations of chemical interaction actually trigger off certain situations of ego-based mania, if you like.
Okay.
And in that respect, of course, you may well see, for example, certain tribal moves and motives, which are partially governed by the tribal essences of instinctive behavior, such as, shall we say, persevering of the personality to do with land use and that kind of thing. So it may well be a very protective form of behavior which comes about.
Territorial.
And, yes, quite so. And there will be egotistical situations which arise from that. For example, then, you may have a person who is perfectly natural dweller and very peaceable in ordinary times, and then perhaps maybe even be a spiritual teacher in some respects, and then that person may actually suddenly derive great situations of energy, anger, or driven oftentimes by anger, or driven by a sense of, betrayal, if you like, by others, that will give rise to that person and their ego actually overtaking their whole personality and turning it on its head.
Okay, and that's what this show is all about, really, isn't it? It's about what makes us tick and how actually
yes.
we end up in certain situations.
Yes,
so how does that happen?
Well, that whole situation, for example, it may just simply arise out of a situation, a given situation, which was created through necessity, perhaps. And you may well have certain situations where warriors, particularly very well-known warriors, for example, may well have actually come to this kind of impasse within their life and may previously have not been a warrior at all, but actually been completely, as I say, in many respects, very peaceable. And then you have this complete change of personality. In many respects, you see, you may have different changes which are oftentimes illuminated, shall we say, also in the tribal area, but which then tend to rear their the situation of energy, which comes across as being extremely negative and oftentimes violent. This is not protective behavior. This may then become egotistical behavior, which was or would have been initially driven by an upset chemical reaction from the actual chemical state, maybe even chromosomal. It could quite evenly be genetically driven. And that sometimes these kinds of chemical interactions simply displace the normal forms of judgment and decision-making in the mind and just completely override them. So, for example, you may have then these kinds of situations arising, shall we say, even at an athletical game, a football match. And that's exactly what happens. You have this situation of what would have been once spirited tribal necessity actually being displaced because there is no tribal necessity at that time of the population. So in a sense, it just takes place out of context of the rest of morality. Yes?
Okay, yeah.
And this is exactly what happens, and what you are looking at is actually the displacement of chemical interaction which drives this almost seemingly mindless act. And it may well be that you would have, say, for example, a situation where suddenly 15 or 20 young men will simply, and not necessarily because of drink, although I understand that also can be a catalyst, which just, in a sense, tips the chemical logic, if you like, the very fine balance that's being manipulated within the chemical organism of the conscious state and of the physical reality. That's exactly what happens when you have perhaps, say, 15 or 20 people who go and set upon one other and beat them absolutely senseless, or maybe even take their life for no apparent reason other than the egotistical sense of what would have been ordinarily animalistic behavior, but that was actually changed and altered dramatically. I know quite simply, my dear friend, you may well want to refer this back and forward to perhaps the pack animal instinct, what wolves do. But actually, wolves don't set about one another in that way necessarily. They do, but only on a very rare occasion, and it's usually to do with isolating a male from the matriarchal herd or matriarchal pack, because most wolf packs are actually matriarchal. And what they tend to do is just allow males in every now and then. They'll keep the young males for as long as they can tolerate them. But then after a while, they'll move them on, shove them out the way. And it will then depend upon how the males actually fend for themselves and how they then bring about their own genetic stance as to whether the females actually let them back in again or not.
Yes, now, one of my points was going to be that, you know, you get women that really look up to somebody who has an ego, who is confident, shall we say.
Yes.
And that sort of, they want to be with them. Because they feel, do they feel safe? Do they feel protected? Do they feel confident that nothing is going to happen to them because this person is
strong and virulent?
Exactly. But actually, let's face it, a lot of it could just be the ego. Okay?
Yes.
And it's the same then, what happens with the wolf pack? That's not ego, is it? But the female wants to be with the strong male, the most dominant
yes,
male.
Yes, of course, but there's a reason for that, and that is, in the wild, the most dominant male is bringing about strong genetic principles, and that is what the female is basically looking for and is attracted to.
Okay, but isn't that something as well that this...
It is.
...the woman who is looking for in this man that she feels portrays this strength?
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. The point I'm saying is that much of this situation is driven by the animal-based ego. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
But is also sometimes mixed up, particularly within the human state, of the consciousness ego.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's my point, really, that if you look at it from a logical point of view, that if you were really coming from a society which was morally trusted, then this would actually never occur. I'm not saying that all males would have it beaten out of them or sucked out of them, but what actually happens is that they're generally tending to succumb to these oftentimes tribal urges, yes, but also pack animal tribal urges, which are being created by offset chemical reactions to do with their actual molecular structure. That's not saying that it's not their fault by saying that. Many times people will have urges to perform one sort of behavior or another, and oftentimes it will be through the morality codes of the individual that they will draw themselves back from that kind of behavior. When we look at the model of a person who is actually in this way structured, shall we say then that they are a person who is violent or something like that, what they're actually doing is that they are succumbing to the chemical aggravations which are occurring. It's almost as though, it's like, I suppose, in a sense, you're giving someone a heavily dose of acids, which then upset their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so they then have pain and that kind of thing. In physical people, it may actually be something that works in that way, and their conscious mind just snaps.
Okay. If you'd like to ask Gregory a question about this or anything to do with life, the universe, and everything, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is a free phone in the USA and Canada. USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And that's not toll-free. Yes, okay. So, okay. Can I just go back to the packing instinct with, like, say, for instance, in sport?
Yes.
Football. English football, soccer, as you call it, is notorious for...
I never did call it that.
No. But they call it that in America and other parts of the world.
Yes, yes.
So, but honestly, the English soccer fans are notorious for violence, fighting, wherever they go. Okay, alcohol is a lot to do with that, but the pack instinct... you know, because these people are, you know, probably normal people at home, and then they just go wild. I mean,
but are they? That's my point.
Mm.
My point really is that generally, in the main, you will find that it is actually a certain identity of people which creates those problems, and you will find that in actual fact, if the whole systematic of the way of management of this situation and problem was created with more care, you would actually find that in the main, most people who create the violence are the ones that create it almost every week.
Mm. But you don't get it in rugby.
No, that's true. But that's a completely different pack instinct. It's not a situation of tribal warfare.
But it's almost tribal warfare on the blinking field. I mean, it's really, I mean...
Yes, but that's
a rough
how it,
game. It's very
yes,
rough.
I
so
understand.
You would think
I have observed it.
You would think that would, you know, promote that more so than football.
No, not at all, because it actually takes place upon the field. And it's, in a sense, however, something which is conducted by people of, well, I cannot say usually more intelligence, but...
No.
I didn't say that, did I?
No, you didn't.
But the point is that it's just a different kind of situation. It does not attract people, and they do not allow people to become upset so upon that whole urgency. Now, exactly the same, dear friend, it doesn't attract the same kind of people. So it means to say that what you are actually dealing with also is that the people who genuinely are interested in the game itself and in the whole process of it, you would actually also acknowledge, my dear friend, that they would actually probably take, for many of them, they would actually take the whole matter into their own hands and deal with any problems of violence themselves.
But you still get two sides, opposing
absolutely.
Fans, shall we say.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
That is true.
So they deal with it differently between them, because this doesn't
yes.
only happen at the match, this happens anywhere else in the area.
Yes, of course. You're also talking about behaviour outside of the actual
well, yeah.
game itself.
Yeah.
But what actually goes on within the whole situation of the area. And what I'm saying is that you will find that the behavior is completely different. And that is, in fact, because the ego of those people is not constructed in the same way.
Well, they strut around and just causing problems. I mean, there's nothing to do with football. It's just going for a fight, isn't it?
Yes, in that situation, that is true. That's why I'm saying, dear friend, the people associated with that, it's only because they have become allowed to infiltrate those situations of standard, of those people's morality.
Mm.
And it's because it has been allowed by... it's just simply something that would not ever be tolerated within the auspices of the other situation.
Mm.
Yes?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was trying to say, really. It's why it is that it is ego-driven. It's nothing to do with the tribal aspect of it, particularly. So you cannot actually use that as a weapon.
Mm. Well, it's to do with something is better than somebody else's, whether it's their gang is better than the other gang.
Yes, of
course.
Or,
you know, it's not really the game, as you say. But, I mean, there's so many different areas that
yes.
all get mixed up there.
Well, my dear friend, I'm so pleased that you brought this up, because in actual fact we really need to turn with the situation of street warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually happens there is really to do with the egotism created in the first instance through this evolutionary instinctive pathway that then becomes modified into permanent behavior.
All right, okay.
So that what you're actually seeing was actually, it started out, it began as really a group of people being needy, seeking support from one another in a typical tribal or pack language manner.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see this in the pack language between people within the certain group. There will be a lot of licking, lowering of heads, yes?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing to those who are more powerful. And particularly where the use of weapons are involved. And that is quite typical of a situation which is overblown through the energy and chemistry of egotistical stances, which have actually usurped the instinctive pathway.
But you see, a lot of the time it's a demonstration of power. It's bluff. It's who can make themselves look the most powerful.
Yes, initially it is, my dear friend. But that soon turns to the instinctive pathway of reality within that. When you say it begins with bluff, but it doesn't end with it. The point is that they actually begin to believe what it is they're feeling. And it's really to do with the chemical reactions that are brought about through the elation stances that they are brought through, when finding themselves, for example, at the winning end of a knife or something like that. Become deliriously happy. And these are egotistical stances, which are really, in a sense, at the other end of the spectrum of people.
Okay. So, I still don't understand what it is that we look
created.
At, what we look at in somebody with a big ego to find attractive, not we personally, but some
no,
people.
No, I understand. Yes, I understand. But that oftentimes is something, again, it is a matter that we've already touched upon.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
It is a matter of the cave dweller and the mate looking for someone to protect the family genetic. And that is really all that it boils down to. Every other quantity of action and activity is brought about through those effects, through those insights, which are primitive and primeval, really.
Okay. Are there specific individual races of people who are more likely to have bigger egos of both types, or even one type?
Yes, quite so. Well, I understand. I do have to say that people of Norman stock tend to be.
Okay. Do you want to explain Norman stock?
Well, Norman stock, people with blue eyes, basically.
Right.
Tend to be that way. They have to actually make effort not to.
Really, isn't this interesting, listeners? You know, this is the spirit's world's perspective or observation, shall I say, of us on this earth. And sometimes it just blows me away.
That's really just the observance of it, my friend.
Well, I know.
I cannot help it. It is a fact.
Yeah, exactly. Gregory, I've got blue eyes.
I know that. And you don't have those tendencies. But I'm saying that... What I'm saying is that people of that genetic, shall we say, have to do more work than others in order for them not to be egotistical, in order for them to be just in the state of being. It's actually quite hard work.
Okay, you've got to explain this in more detail. You can't just say that.
No, quite so. I understand that. Well, my dear friend, it is basically the situation which has evolved through that particular genetic. So it's almost as though you are actually looking at a group of people who are, in a sense, at a kind of state of disadvantage to the rest of people. In a sense, it's a group of people who have moved away so intrinsically from the original genetic and from the original display of personality, that in a sense, it's actually a group of people who find it really quite difficult to blend in a sense with the earth vibration, because they generally tend to be quite cerebral. They also generally tend to be peoples who are very warlike. And I'm not saying that indigenous peoples of many other groups are not warlike.
Mm.
They absolutely are.
Mm.
But what I'm saying intensively, they tend to be more peaceful filled than warlike. Whereas, for example, Northern Europeans generally are warlike. And they're that way because of certain egotistical and chemical balances which are very refined, and it means that the people within that group have to really concentrate upon a very balanced diet. They really have to concentrate upon certain kinds of food groups. Remember, dear friend, that in past situations, interviews, we have talked about various indigenous peoples, for example, who cannot tolerate wheat, and they simply move into malfunction. Their body bloats. And that is a typical situation that will happen purely because of wheat, for example, because they're not used to eating it.
Mm.
Genetically, it malfunctions for them and destroys much of their system. Now, in exactly the same way, you could say that the whole situation around blue-eyed Europeans is that they have actually been brought up on wheat. And genetically, that's something that has enhanced this genetic for many thousands of years. However, it's still actually not good for them, even though it's a part of their basic diet and basic situation for them to gravitate to. Now, I'm not saying that that is what creates the anger, resentment, and what creates the war-like situations. What actually does tend to happen, however, is that because of the original balance of genetics, which came out from situations of mountain living, shall we say, and living in very harsh conditions, which the original tribal elders went through, it is actually becoming that the same dominations of now, which now create ego imbalances, tends to make that most of the people from this group tend to be extremely dominant in many different areas. And they will be this way because of chemical reactions which bring about egotistical misbalances, and also very difficult situations which they will dominate, particularly, I have to say, in a very selfish way. I'm not saying that all of it like this. I'm saying that, for example, if you look at the percentage of most of the people who are the richest upon your side of life and who have gained those riches through the backs of others,
mm-hmm.
they will generally tend to be white European.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is that they are manipulative. The reason for that is that they are always costing out their genetics and what they can get from the position of someone else. If you are a European and you're not like that, forgive me. I do not mean to undermine you, but what I'm saying is that for those people who are not that way, they have worked very hard not to be that way.
So in other words, they would have to work harder on themselves
than
other people would.
Absolutely so.
But it would be much easier if you were of that type to just go the other way.
Yes, and I know, of course, there are many, many hundreds of thousands or even millions of people who do not have this born genetic trait or embolism, if you like, of ego within themselves. They will perhaps be perfectly balanced, very spiritual and mindful beings. And I applaud every one of their spirits who have overcome their physical bodiness to enable that to be present in their life.
It's interesting. How do aliens, right? How do other species from other worlds, planets?
Yes.
Describe, in a nutshell, human being.
They don't.
Because you
they
can't.
They just don't do that.
But you can't.
No, absolutely.
We're
because
just
it
too
just
diverse.
Depends. Yes, quite so. It depends entirely upon which genetic being you are looking at. For example, if you were looking at tribes people from the Amazon rainforest, you would actually see very beautiful beings. You would actually empathize with their energy completely in one moment. And that's not because they are Buddhist monks. It's actually because they practice being in the state of now, constantly.
Hmm. But normally, I've asked you many times, so what are the extraterrestrials like from the specific dimension
yes.
that you've
yes.
spoken about? And
yes.
you try to tell me, but you can't, we can't,
Because it's so alien.
From here, you can't explain
yes.
human beings
yes.
so easily, can you?
No, indeed not.
Very complex people.
Whereas, yes, absolutely so. It is extremely complex. It's because of the tribal matters which have evolved throughout time. And even tribal matters, don't forget, it will depend to a certain extent upon which ways of tribal matters are embellished from one generation to another. Now, for example, if you are looking at certain religious groups, or perhaps even group traits of people who are genetically swayed in one particular direction. Perhaps they too are having to live a very fearsome existence, perhaps in the tribal sense it's very fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps maybe you are looking at people who are tribes people, shall we say, in northeastern Afghanistan. And those tribes people are extremely resilient, but they are also very sick as well, because they're really all they want is peace. But really all they're having at the moment is consistent war, and it's war with their neighbor, it's war with virtually many other different forms or belief structures. They're even at war with themselves.
Mm. And of course then there's the families. You know, you can get, you know,
yes,
you might have a really egotistical brother, a sister who's meek as a lamb.
Yes, absolutely so.
So it's very difficult to
fathom. Yes, and usually those kinds of situations don't just come about, they certainly don't come about because of their spirit. These are all physical genetic traits and situations that have been brought about through chemical reactive tissue status, if you like, of the being as it has developed. So oftentimes you are not just looking at, shall we say, people who come from an impoverished housing estate or something like that,
mm-hmm,
a mass of people who are impoverished in some way. Perhaps it's some kind of ghetto situation or
mm-hmm,
whatever. Doesn't necessarily mean to say that all of the people who live there are of the same mind. Obviously, a great many of them will be protracted within their consciousness purely and simply because what they are observing of themselves is of a great negativity and destruction, and what they're observing in their ongoing situation around them is also of a ongoing negative state. So therefore they will be succumbing to that negative energy unless they are very strong, or unless they have a certain way of even turning those negative instances and pulses around them into a way of familiarity, which is funny, even comical. And that oftentimes is how some people rise above that kind of negative energy and displace it.
Is it only through coming in regular contact with negativity from others, say, I mean, from an early age, like we all do, but as
yes,
you say, in that instance, on an impoverished housing estate, then it would be, you know, on a daily basis, regularly.
Yes, yes.
Is it only coming into contact with it that makes us sort of cynical, suspicious, hard, sort of hard on round the edges, I was going to say, really? You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's actually more than that. It's really because of what it invokes within yourself is your core behavior. You're looking at your primal genetic, which is then coming into play.
Survival.
You are surviving. And the form of ego that then takes place within that is a different form of ego which allows you to survive, which makes you more wary of situations. Not an egotistical ego, not something that is the great I am, although there are some people genetically who, because of their constructive malfunction, if you like, that they actually become very vicious and violent. And then their egotistical state becomes something of a structure of construction, in fact. And they will then become very good at surviving and also dominating others by their energy.
Stamping their power because they actually
yes,
haven't got any.
Yes, and usually you'll find them actually having tattooed themselves.
Interesting, isn't it?
To state their claim on themselves, you see?
Mm.
They cannot actually prove to everyone else that they can state their claim on them, so they state their claim on themselves first.
That's interesting. I've never thought of it that way before. Mm.
Yes, and usually on the neck.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yes.
Because that's the place where I am all powerful.
Mm.
On the neck. See?
Mm, interesting. And the other thing, actually, is, and I know I've touched on this before, but it fits in with the fact that we actually like watching, not personally, but watching these soap operas with a lot of violence in them, people arguing all the time and being horrible to each other and pinching each other's girlfriends, wives, all sorts of, I mean, just underhand things. I mean, what's with that? And yet the ego-filled sort of person that we all love to hate in them, everybody always finds the most interesting, and they probably get paid the most money each week. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, quite so.
Why do we like watching that?
Because
people
what they're doing...
People being nasty to each other.
Yes, yes. Well, because it enables them to see it through a voyeuristic tendency rather than actually being face-to-face with it in their own community. That then, of course, becomes much more difficult to take. If they're face-to-face with it in their own community, that is something much harder to divulge, if you like, to divulge, dissipate the energy.
Yes, but why watch it anyway? Why not watch something that's going to make you feel really nice about people and less fearful every time
because,
you go out at night when
it's
dark?
Yes, because it's an observance of how to construct primal power. And that really is the logic behind it, even though you'll have people saying, oh no, I'm not violent. No, well, actually what they're doing is they're learning how to be that way.
But you get old ladies watching it. They're riveted.
Absolutely.
every evening.
And they're riveted, yes, of course. But that again is, remember what I said about the primal urges of the way a female may well look at the behavior aspect of how that genetic display is brought about. And what that genetic display means is that person is going to be overpowering for them and strong for them.
Mm.
That's what they want, an alliance of strength in order for their own genetics to survive. They are always going to look at in a mate or a male will be, is this going to survive?
Hmm. Yeah, I understand. Okay, so we talked last week about how we gauge ourselves against others all the time. And what does ego look like to you when we are egotistical? What does it look like to the spirit world when you're looking, observing us?
Interesting. Ego doesn't actually have a color. It has sharp edges. It has a... It's not an opaque mist. An opaque mist. Sorry. Yes. It. In a sense, if you look... So, for example, then, if you looked at a person who was having healing, their aura energy would be obviously of a pink, or would be of an ultraviolet or something like that, or perhaps whatever the color would be, it would be an emergent color. That means that it will have density which is extremely different throughout its field, and it will be quite extensive. It will also be as though that person is almost emitting their own cloud, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's gradually dissipated. So it doesn't have a boundary and a border. A person who is very egotistical, it's sharp. And it's because it has little structure. A person who is ego, who is being in an egotistical language and way, is actually creating very sharp and spiky energies. And that's really part of the reason why you can tell a person who is being egotistical is because the energy is inconsistent. They cannot maintain the power. And so it comes out in bursts.
They can actually be a very vulnerable person.
Yes, quite
deep
so.
Deep down.
Yes, and it actually takes a great deal of energy to bring about that kind of egotistical stance. You might think, perhaps, that someone, maybe it's someone who is very self-assured of themselves, or perhaps is acting very selfishly. Those are completely different reasons of suppressions or whatever. They are generally, however, the situations that we're really talking about here are where people become quite explosive in their egotistical stance, and perhaps maybe they're doing it for effect to win over a certain situation or point, and you will find that this is a very spiky concentrate, which oftentimes is actually, surprisingly, the first thing that turns another person off.
Yeah, but they pick it up.
Because they pick the spikes up first.
Right, yes.
And so they automatically will put up a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in actual fact, is the first thing that you will see. And then actually what happens to the egotistical person who's making this energy is that their energy comes back and hits them. So they get worse.
Well, because they're picking up on the spikes. They're being affected by that.
By their own rejection.
That's interesting.
Yes. Very often you will find that very egotistical people become even more egotistical in the pathway of, shall we say, in the pathway of disfavor. Let me take you a typical example then of this, which would be where you have a leader, shall we say, who is perhaps stepping over their mark of the parameter of what the people who are following them are allowing.
Okay.
Now, in this tribal situation, it's very interesting to watch the dynamics between the people. And what you will oftentimes have is that the one person who is the tribal leader becomes egotistical even to the point where they become ridiculous. I give you a case in point, Robert Mugabe.
Okay, yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
He became so ridiculous that people just laughed when he walked in the room.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't take him seriously.
Mm.
Because they knew that whatever he was going to say as soon as he opened his mouth was going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, more like a comedian.
Yes, quite so.
If it wasn't so.
Except he didn't realize that he was one, you see?
Yeah, yeah.
And in exactly the same way, you may have a certain situation. Perhaps you would often find perhaps that people in temporary seats of power actually adopt this same egotistical principle. And they will actually argue that a cow is blue, when in actual fact it's clearly white.
Mm.
And the situation that you will find is, interestingly, that other people will actually see not and feel not their egotism as it comes out, but actually their energy. And what they will do is they will block it. So sending that energy back to them, the person who is creating this behavior then becomes even more ironic and even more displeased, because they feel perhaps that they should just be accepted for the words that they're giving rather than the responses that they're having. And so because it sends such a disarray signal within them, they generally then up the energy status, if you like.
Mm. Yes, I mean, and I don't mean to play down the awful things that Mugabe's done.
No, absolutely not. Of course not.
Just made me think, actually, is there a way to play these people then? You know?
Yes, take their power away from them.
Well, if you can't...
That really is more that you can do.
If you can't take their power away from them...
Well, you have to.
Is there a specific way that... These people, you know, you're talking about how these sorts of people function and how
they work. No, because they usually end up mad.
Right, yeah.
They will usually become deranged in some way.
Mm.
You have exactly the same situation with the gentleman, I understand, recently, who actually had created this whole situation through his ego of money management in a financial situation, which then... simply he couldn't stop.
Mm. Mm.
And that was actually like a disease. I'm not saying that that's what it was.
But no.
Because I wouldn't want him to
escape. No. No, but generally this is what can happen.
Yes, quite so.
Mm.
And it's generally because of these situations that you usually find that, in a sense, it's a way of others within the tribe being able to manage egotistical people in that kind of environment. It's much, much easier if the person is a chieftain or something like that than someone who is perhaps, shall we say, the person who employs you or something like that.
Mm.
That's obviously a much more difficult situation. I understand there are many, many people who succumb to those energies and are very fearful of them, of their employers.
Oh, well, yes, absolutely, yes.
And obviously that is an extremely difficult situation to manage yourself. Usually the best answer is to really, in a sense, allow a blocking of the behavior to become evident within you.
We tend to look up at an ego, an egotistical, shall we say, some sort of president or, you know, leader of a country, shall we say.
Either that or call them intensely stupid, yes.
Yes, oh yes, one or the other. But seem to have gone the other way now with Barack Obama, and yet,
yeah.
So which is such a beautiful turnaround to look at. Because it is his spirituality that we love about him, I think, that the world loves about him.
Yes, well, calling a spade a spade.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
But his spirituality shines through, and I'm not talking religion here.
No, nothing to do with religion.
The essence of his spirit, shall
yes.
we say.
Yes.
And everything about him.
Yes.
So that's a very encouraging turn of events in, well, as much as it is huge anyway, but
yes.
in just in that respect that people are looking at a leader in a more spiritual way.
Yes, quite so. And also, dear friend, I think that you will observe that because of the fact of the foundation energy with which it comes from, which is to do with Earth survival, that is something which is very empathic with very many people, and needs to be, of course.
Mm. Yeah, but it's been there for a long time.
That is true.
Yes. You know, but he was the one that people were able to take into their hearts, basically.
Yes, but oftentimes you will find that it's actually really because of the fact that he managed to overcome the current trend and created his own.
Yes, I know, but how did he do that? This is what I'm saying. How did he do that? Because for years we've been, you know... Our voting has been dictated to us, really, in the fearful way of, oh, well, if I don't go with this person because he's the strongest person or she's the strongest person. I mean, we have Margaret Thatcher.
Yes, but they weren't really the strongest person. They only shouted the loudest and told everyone that they had to follow them, otherwise they were... not patriotic, or otherwise they were not within the...
Or they were doomed.
Or they were not within the tribe, or they were doomed, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Quite so.
Yeah,
and so it was actually fear that was given as an alternative. If you don't do this, I will give you fear. And it was actually because of the fact that they were all creating fear that gave them the power in the first place.
Mm.
And that actually people abdicated their own power of themselves to them and gave it to them.
Oh, absolutely. But I can't understand, you know. I mean, we all knew that was happening at the time. But even now, to this day, people still talk about Margaret Thatcher.
Like some kind of saint, I know.
Well, no. Yeah. And the opposite as well. And I'm thinking, yeah. Well, where were you? You know, I mean, why did you vote her in, sort of thing?
Yes.
But, yeah, it's... there is something very fickle about human beings as well, isn't there?
Yes, quite so. I understand many people would think that that was a very brave situation that she actually invoked in enabling people to own their own homes. The problem was that most of the people who owned their own homes couldn't actually manage them anyway.
No.
And that was not a... that wasn't because they couldn't, because they didn't have the intelligence, but purely and simply because they didn't have the awareness of what they were supposed to do with it.
Mm.
And also because of the fact that many of these situations were actually created by taking housing, which was actually for social housing, which was for people really who could not afford their own houses. And
well,
so
we've
that
been
was
around
a different whole, completely different situation. But that too was a form of egotism.
Oh gosh, absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, once again, Gregory, time's beaten us.
Yes, very well. With love and light and blessings be.
Thank you.
God bless.
I hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us or book yourself an Akashic reading, and as well as Spirit's work on BBS Radio on Sundays. We have Spirit Teaching on artistverse.com on Tuesdays, and also Second Life starting next week on Sunday. My name is Sylvia Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.